universe.
My name, of course, is Warren Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back nickel.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God. Is he the third man?
He's the third man.
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone of Philly Voice and Philly Influencer. And you are listening to episode 216, 216, not 316, not there yet. We've got 100 more to go to get to that. Right, for right now, 216, 216 of the Straight Shooters on a whole multitude of platforms. But before I get into those platforms, good brother Nick Facone, a Philly Voice, a Philly Influencer, as I said earlier. How you doing tonight, my good brother?
I'm doing good, man. I went trick-or-treating. I got all my candy, and I'm not eating it right now because that would be unprofessional to eat on the air. But we got in the candy and giving away candy before the storm hit. We were just talking before we went on the air. It sounds like we're in Kansas out here because I'm right by my window, and I'm hearing nothing but wind and rattling and whatnot. So
I'm glad you mentioned it because
I'm scared, man.
I've already forgotten that. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween. It's spooky season. Or it's about to be over in a couple of hours, I guess.
Yeah.
After Halloween's done. But yeah, I was out there tonight as well with my daughter. Took a trick-or-treating, got a whole bunch of candy. I promise I didn't eat most of it yet, you know, but she'll have some left over after I'm done with it. No. You know, she went as a Grim Reaper, so that was her choice to be a Grim Reaper. So, yeah, did some trick-or-treating. Now I'm here on a Thursday night watching Thursday Night Football. 49ers looking pretty good right now on against the Cardinals. So I got that on the TV. I got you in front of me as we're going to talk about a whole lot of wrestling because we got a lot to talk about. A lot has happened this week in the world of professional wrestling. So much. I mean, we've got the stuff with Jordan Miles, formerly known as ACH, current NXT wrestler. I don't know for how long, but we'll see. But we had stuff with him earlier this week. That seems like almost like a million years ago now, even though that's only like 2 or 3 days ago. We've got AEW NXT Chapter 5. The war continues. The Wednesday Night War. It continues. It continued last night, and it didn't go so well for either show. Because, of course, Game 7 of the World Series was the night before we recorded this. We're recording this on Halloween night, so it's a Thursday. Game 7 of the World Series was on Wednesday night. Congratulations to the Washington Nationals. I know Phillies fans not totally happy with that, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. But
it's very weird. I'm feeling very weird about that.
Well, you know, it is what it is. It's always next year, right?
Yeah.
It's always next year.
I mean, sports are sports, and that's what happens.
Sixers are 4-0. We got that. One.
Right. Yeah. Hey, there was an early Royal Rumble last night, too, at the Wells Fargo Center. So
Tapped out.
Yeah, he did.
He definitely tapped out. That's an incomplete pass, by the way.
Record time.
Whatever. But so we got that going on here. But again, lots of stuff going on in pro wrestling. Of course, even today, Halloween day, Halloween night, whatever, Crown Jewel happened. And big title change happened at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. I, for one, did not watch the show. Just out of, mostly out of
that
protest.
That makes two of us.
Yeah, just mostly out of protest the WWE's deal they got over there in Saudi Arabia. Just everything about it just feels wrong. We talked at length about this last year when they first started the deal. It still feels wrong. And on top of it, this year, they threw Cain Velasquez in there. And they threw, what's his name? Tyson Fury in there. Yeah. Just all of it feels weird and odd and bizarre. And So no, I'm not. I didn't watch the show. I'll readily admit it. I didn't watch it, but obviously I kept track. Touchdown Niners. But
why
I kept
track. Why couldn't have been Kittle? Damn it.
He already scored. He can't score all the touchdowns.
I need a win in fantasy so bad. I'm 2-6 right now, so I'm not doing too hot.
I'm 4-4, so I'm doing pretty good. But
okay.
Trying to go 5-4.
No need to brag.
I'm all right. You know, I got Pettis on my team, so I'm glad he didn't score because he's on my bench. But we got that to talk about because, like I said, there was a big title change on that show.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know about
it. I mean, just because we didn't watch Crown Jewel doesn't mean we haven't been perusing Twitter. So obviously we're going to talk about some of the things from there, but not we're not going to spend too much time on this show as a
whole. Specifically Bray Wyatt's WWE Universal Championship. I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, whether it's Friday or Saturday or sometime during the weekend, you know that Bray Wyatt is now our new Universal Champion, despite the fact that he is a SmackDown wrestler. But I guess that'll change soon. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, before we get into all of the... Oh, we're going to talk about also War Games. Lots of War Games going on in NXT.
Yeah.
Two War Games matches. Yeah. One for the men, one for the women. So, again, like I said, lots of going on in the world of pro wrestling all over the world, literally. Before we get into our big discussion today, tonight, on this here episode, on episode 216, I got to remind you where you can find this on these here interwebs. Of course, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Spreaker, we're on TuneIn Radio, we're on Player FM, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Spotify, and the new mothership, Simplecast, at shootersradio.com via Simplecast. So check us out on there. Of course, patreon.com/shootersradio. We can subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. But of course, if you want all of our free shows, all of our flagship shows, so to speak, go to shootersradio.com. You can find a whole bunch of episodes there. I mean, practically all of them, right? Including last week's episode where we talked about why wrestling isn't mainstream. And that kind of, I will touch on that a little bit in our Jordan Miles discussion. But if you want to go listen to it in its entirety, last week, shootersradio.com, and you can listen to a whole bunch of prior episodes before that. But this here episode is episode 216, and we're going to start off, like I said, with Jordan Miles. I'm sure by now you all know what the deal is here. Jordan Miles tweeted out a shirt that could be construed as racist. I took it as, when I first saw it, I thought it was, oh, that's not the greatest shirt in the world as far as optics. You know, it's not like inherently a racist shirt, I guess, but it just looks like it. You know, got the black face, red mouth, on the black person, teethy kind of look. That looks like a minstrel show. First and foremost, the shirt is ugly. Let's just be real. Sidetrack, why are WWE shirts so trash nowadays? I feel like
there's a ton of them that I would not even think about adding to my cart.
I feel like they used to have good shit. Like, you go back to the Hulk Hogan to Roddy Piper. It's like it comes in.
Yeah, cycles. it was simple type stuff too. I think Macho they tried
Man,
too hard.
Macho Man shirts.
Yeah.
It comes like in waves. It's like whenever the business is really hot, their shirts are really good. Like right. In the 80s, good shirts. Early 90s, bad shirts. And then like Steve Austin gets a great shirt. And then all of a sudden the shirts started getting at least sort of cool again. Like the DX shirts and like the, and of course the NWO shirts were simple. They were black, but they were simple. But go back to Macho Man and Hogan. Those weren't black shirts, but they were still cool shirts. And then, you know, Cena's had some decent ones here and there. But for the most part, man, a lot of these shirts are trash. Like, they Seth are. Has had some cool shirts, not recently, but, you know, over the years. Kevin Owens has had a couple decent shirts here and there. Finn Balor, maybe. But for the most part, WWE shirts are whack. And this is only the latest one in a long line of whack shirts that they've had. And ACH, or Jordan Miles, I should say, isn't the first WWE wrestler to say something like, hey, this shirt's trash. Remember Neville, or now Pac, when he was in WWE, he hit that King of the Cruiserweight shirt. And he was like, yo, I did not approve this shirt. This shirt is trash. And he was right. That shirt was trash. But this is much deeper than just a trash shirt, obviously. This is a race issue. And that's where, you know, this gets real personal for people like me and everybody. I mean, if you're, you know, not a fan of racism, which I hope a lot of people aren't, but I'm sure there are people are out there who are racist, but that's on you. That's bad for you. But for everybody else, you know, you look at this and go, oh, yeah, that's definitely not a great shirt. And he went essentially on a Twitter tirade talking about, it went from how bad the shirt was to WWE not caring about black people, which, I mean, look, let's not absolve WWE from, like, let's make it seem like WWE is so super great when it comes to the depiction of minorities, people of color in general. Obviously, they've had their issues with that in the past and still do to some extent. You know, the black guys are typically just like Jordan Miles' gimmick, happy to be there, smiling all the time. His gimmick is literally that he likes to smile. That's his gimmick, essentially. That's why they put the smile on his shirt, because that's his gimmick, so to speak. But, you know, even with not just black people, but like Asians or Samoans. Samoans, once upon a time, were known to have the quote unquote hardest skulls in the world. And every time you headbutted them, it would hurt you, not them. That's a little much. Of course, you had like Samoan savages and whatnot. Of course, you have, I mean, you look at anyone that's sort of Middle Eastern, even if they're from Canada, like Jinder Mahal, they're, you know, wearing, they're Muslim, and they're wearing head, you know, the garb, the Muslim garb and everything like that. You know, Mustafa Ali is like the one that's not kind of not doing that, but you see it a lot, obviously. The foreign heel stereotypes, no matter the race, no matter the nationality, the ethnicity, WWE has and probably still will exploit that moving forward, because for whatever reason they still think that draws heat when it really doesn't. People don't really care about that stuff anymore. Maybe back in World War II they did, but no, not really today. But so WWE does not have a sterling record when it comes to people of color, but this got blown up real fast. And then on top of all that, Jordan Miles threw in and later apologized for, gotta be fair, but he threw in Jay Lethal just out of nowhere. Like, Jay Lethal had to be sitting there like, what in the hell?
Why am I trending?
Right. For all this, when was the last time Jay Lethal trended? And for it to happen this way?
Yeah. I don't even know if he trended when he won the Ring of Honor title the first time. So.
Exactly. Or the second time, or whatever, how many times he had it. Right. Regardless, he was trending for some not so great reasons, because as you may remember, and I kind of forgot about this myself, Jay Lethal was accused of sexual assault, I believe, by Taylor Hendricks, right? Was that?
Yes.
If not her, then I don't want to put her. It's not her. I apologize if it's not Taylor Hendricks, but he was accused, regardless of who it was by. He was accused of a sexual assault, and I think there was an investigation, quote unquote, by Ring of Honor, but nothing really came out. Nothing really came of it after the fact. And Jay Lethal was still employed by Ring of Honor. And
yeah, you're right.
And oh, you looked it up. Thank you.
Taylor Hendricks.
Thank you for doing research.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to make sure that we were on the right and not just throwing names out there. But yeah, that was good knowledge by you, because I was like, oh, you know what? That sounds familiar. But then just to make sure, yep.
Right.
So quickly just Googled it and found it. So yep, Taylor Hendricks.
Appreciate that. So don't want to look like goofs out here getting stuff wrong. But
not on Halloween.
Not on Halloween, not or any other day for that matter. But
true.
He was accused of sexual assault. Nothing really came of it. So we don't know whether he did anything or not. You know, all we know is that he was accused, which is not a great look in itself. Let's be honest, at least in the court of public opinion. But he's still with Ring of Honor, still a top guy. And Jordan Miles accused him of, despite even the sexual assault allegation, he's still a top guy because he's a quote unquote Uncle Tom, which is, that's not what you just throw around to black people. I mean, if you're a black person, you don't throw it around to another black person. Those are fighting words, all right? Because that has very, very, very deep behind that. And it's not so much, I want to say, a slur. It's just super offensive. And you just don't want to be labeled an Uncle Tom. But he threw it out there. And of course, he later deleted the tweet and apologized for throwing Jay Lethal in it. By that point, it's too late. The damage had been done. And he started a whole hashtag for the culture. He was telling people to turn their pictures black and white. It was a whole thing. It was like a 2-day movement, so to speak, about this shirt. It really started off with a shirt. Now, when I first saw the shirt and first saw him say something, I was like, yo, good for him for speaking up about it, because that's a trash shirt. And it's it could be construed as racist. Like, that's just bad. This is what happens when there isn't someone of color in the room, probably, to say, hey, that doesn't look good. Like, okay, we're going to do this in other colors, but let's not do it in that color. Or just not do the shirt, because the shirt is ugly anyway. But apparently, maybe there was, but if there was, wow. But I'm willing to bet there wasn't, because that shirt got through. He claims didn't approve it. He put up emails saying that Triple H wanted a more teethy design. It's a whole big thing. It was a lot. It was a lot. But a lot of people, for me, when I first saw it, I was like, yo, this is not good. It's not a great look. But there's also part of me that's like, once it kept growing and snowballing, it was this thing and that thing. I was like, something is kind of weird about this. I just kind of wondered, like, what was his end game? What was your end game, Jordan Miles? What were you looking for out of this? Because if you just wanted the shirt to be taken down and for someone to be held accountable for creating a racist, ugly shirt, that could have been handled differently. Instead, it went above and beyond this to where you're calling the company that you are employed by, you're accusing them of not caring about people that look like you, you know, black people. And you're calling out Jay Lethal, and now he reached out to Booker T, because Booker T had something to say about it, and he said, hey, Booker T, I would love to go on your podcast and discuss this. And people were kind of seeing everything in its totality and go like, oh, are you like clout chasing? Which I'm not going to accuse him of. He's got his feelings. He's entitled to his feelings and his thoughts and his emotions. I'm not going to say it's for clout chasing. I'm sure he has his reasons as to why he did all this. But it just felt like I'm just curious as to what his end game, what he wanted out of all of it. Because it's just after all of that, where have we gotten besides the shirt being taken down and not being sold anymore? You know what I'm saying? I think that one tweet would have accomplished just that. But everything else happened after that. And it's like, what did you get out of that? Like, what was that for? That was my whole thing.
I think it's good, like, to look back and maybe it just seemed like everything started bottling up. Like, there's still probably a ton that we don't know. There is a ton that he threw out there on Twitter, like, that wasn't public knowledge. So now, like, we're finding out some of these things. Like, that wasn't obviously, like, he didn't just find out about the design. It was like a month prior that he had mentioned that this design isn't great or something like that. Maybe it was a few months. And he kind of expanded on that. He was replying to people via Twitter, and you kind of like if keeping track of, you know, how this snowballed.
It was hard to keep track of because there was a lot of tweets, by the way.
Right, right.
You know, when you're working and doing stuff, it's hard to keep track of all that because I'm just not sitting on Twitter all day, but I tried. It was a lot, though.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, different replies for different, you know, kind of like sections of the actual argument, which was basically, I think, you know, he was trying to say, shirts like this aren't, this is why, you know, just because Kofi Kingston won the title at WrestleMania doesn't mean WWE all of a sudden is absolved of all their sins. And look at this run. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I was like,
yeah, I saw your face and then I looked at the TV and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't start Matt Breda. That's great. But you know, I think his main, maybe the main point he was trying to convey was just because Kofi was the champion doesn't mean we get to absolve WWE of past transgressions of their decisions when it comes to, like you mentioned earlier, black people, Asian people, Middle Eastern people, the way they portray them.
Latino people, for that matter, also. Black and brown people in general.
Yeah. Just because they push, you know, these guys to the top doesn't mean everybody gets the same respect. A guy like Roman Reigns, a guy like John Cena, they're treated differently than, you know, guys like Kofi Kingston, Eddie Guerrero when he was at the top, you know, those type of guys. You know, I think it's good that he called this out because I think it really hammered home the point that it wasn't just this one thing. Like, the T-shirt kind of symbolized a sentiment that he had that I'm sure is shared not by people, not only by him, but like he wasn't going to throw any other WWE talent, you know, under the bus. You know, that Jay Lethal thing was kind of like it was like a side type thing where, you know, it didn't have anything to do with the original point about the T-shirt. So that kind of like it just kind of got off track. But I think his main point was just like, yo, like this type of shit's not okay. And it needs to be called out. And he was going to be the guy. He decided that he was going to be the guy to do it. Now, I think he had come out already and apologized. I don't know if he apologized for the initial tweet about the shirt. But I do think he apologized for did he apologize for the Jay Lethal?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
thing. So,
my memory is incorrect. I'm pretty sure I saw him tweet out an apology to Jay Lethal, whether it's on Twitter or maybe he put it on his Instagram and somebody screen grabbed it.
Okay.
I know he deleted that tweet. That's definitely what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that,
yeah,
that post, whoever it happened.
Screenshot culture. It's the gotcha culture. It's not. It's now there forever. It's but forever. That's where I saw it. I didn't see the initial tweet. I saw like a screenshot of it.
Right.
So, you know, I think I definitely laud him for really like he didn't keep quiet. Like that T-shirt. You know, when I first saw it, I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, really, how can you not see the connotation that you're giving? And you said it earlier, like, is no one of color in the room? And looking at this, like, that's a problem, too. You like they talk about diversity and all this, but are the decision making people, you know, is that diverse? You know, it doesn't really seem
eight,
like
it. It's typically eight.
Exactly. So
the higher you go up the food chain, the less people of color you typically see. So
right. That's
it is in corporate America in general.
Yeah, and that absolutely needs to change, and it has to change in WWE. And the fact that, no, I don't think – it's hard for me to – like Triple H seems like he gets it. And there are things that he gets and things that he doesn't get. I don't want to assume that he looked at it and thought anything other than, you know, the smile is his gimmick and let's make it work with the T-shirt. And maybe he overlooked it, but at the same time, like, you have to know the optics. When you're in that position, if Triple H is at that position making all those decisions with the T-shirts, it's not like, you know, I saw a graphic of like a whole bunch of T-shirts that were released from like NXT. I believe it was just like NXT wrestlers. So if he had like a quick look and had to approve every one of those designs quickly, then maybe it gets overlooked. But you know, when you're in that position, that shouldn't be that shouldn't be the process. You should look at each shirt individually and make a decision. You shouldn't just look at like a graphic that has all of them on there and be like, just take a glance at it for, you know, 2 seconds and then say, okay, like let's go. So, you know, it obviously starts at the top and there's a problem there. And I'm really glad Jordan Miles said something, called it out to it, because now people are going to pay attention. And now, you know, hopefully WWE is going to be a lot looking at their designs a lot more. And maybe that, I don't want to say that was Jordan Miles' end game, but, you know, I mean, I obviously don't know what his end game is. And, you know, maybe he didn't know, or maybe he does know, and maybe we're getting there in some way. But as of right now, as of this recording, he hasn't been released from WWE. So that's a good thing. I think that they would benefit from, you know, hanging on to him and actually he's shown like he has a mind for these type of things, and maybe not just have him as a in-ring talent, but maybe kind of put him in the office and see what kind of what things he could come up with if he has But what are they missing? Because clearly they don't have enough people in there that can look at something and think about everything surrounding it. And with a company as big as WWE, they absolutely should have way more people in the room looking at stuff like that.
And that's 100% true. I just, once the hashtag kind of started up and the changing of the pictures, it just felt like it didn't feel like, if you're really trying to call attention to something, you don't need to create a hashtag. You don't need to change profile pictures. It happens so fast, too. It happens so, like, instantly.
Right.
It's just like, I don't want to say authentic. It just didn't feel, like, 100%, like, on point. It just felt weird. And like I said, I just want to know what he was looking to get out of this. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to accuse him of anything. I just didn't understand what he was trying to get out of it. It came off as I was kind of iffy for me. I'm just like, so what is this all about, really? Like, there's something else. I don't know what's happening. Something else to play. It just felt kind of weird. This went well beyond a T-shirt, you know, to the point that he says WWE doesn't care about black people. That's a big, gigantically bold statement to say.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. I don't know if you can walk that back. You know what I'm saying? You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. You know what I'm saying? So
it took me back to when Kanye said George Bush doesn't care about
black
people.
You can't walk that back. Yeah. Can't take that back. So I don't know. I was just curious to see, just wondering, like I said, maybe I should tweet him. I don't know. But yeah, I've seen people ask him that. And I don't know if he gave them answers or whatnot, but I don't know. But this incident kind of got me thinking about our discussion from last week about why wrestling isn't mainstream. And I think part of it that I didn't really talk about last week, and I just thought about it like after we had our discussion, obviously, was that there aren't enough people of color at the top of the card. When we look at a lot of other sports, people of color are at like the top of it. We talk about basketball, obviously 75% of the league is African American. Football, some of the best players are African American. Baseball, some of the best players are Latino, you know, or, you know, there might be some good African-American players too, but the Latinos, you know, some white, obviously, but for the most part, team sports is dominated by people of color, or they're at the top of that profession. I won't say dominated, because there are obviously people of all races who are good at the at sports, whether it's golf, tennis, hockey, football, basketball, baseball, no doubt. But there's someone of color at the top, near the top, that, you know, they, that people see and they can identify with. You talk about tennis, there's Serena and Venus Williams, or who's Sloane Stephens, or you talk about gymnastics, you got Gabby Douglas, or who's damn, who's the other
Simone
one?
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's somebody, you know, obviously there are other gymnasts and other tennis players, other golfers that are just as good as they are, or I don't know if anybody's just as good as Serena. It just seems kind of like the GOAT, but that are in that stratosphere, in that upper echelon, but for a young Black or young Latino or young whatever, there's also somebody for them that can look and go, oh, look at them. And I guess you can say the same thing about WWE. Like if you got, if you're young and Black, you got Kofi Kingston. If you're young and Asian, maybe you got, you know, Shinsuke or Asuka or somebody like that. But for years, you look at the top of like even AEW or Ring of Honor, for the most part, there's a lot of white people at the top. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying, I'm not here to offend white people. It's just that these are the people you choose to put in these spots.
Right.
But in every other sport or even like in a lot of industries, look at the top of music. It's a lot of people of color at the top. And that's what, and the people of color are the cool, they're on the trend, they're on brand, they're the cool people. But yet you got Seth Rollins and then you got Kenny Omega and then you got Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes is married to a Black woman, obviously, but you got to mix that up. Maybe that's that, maybe that's another thing that's missing. If you're young and Black, who do you look to at the top of the card in WWE that's always up there? Not like Kofi, who was up there for a little, for 6 months, and then you could probably tell it's probably going to get take a step back. I'm talking about and this person that's like a Seth Rollins, who is number one babyface. At least they book him as if he is the number one babyface on the roster. Or, you know, last time that really happened was like The Rock, when there was like a Black, and he's half Black, but he's Black still. People always like to, you know, conveniently forget that when they talk about Black world champions. But, and what happened when he was a top babyface or a top guy on the top of the card? The business was booming. I'm not, of course, Steve Austin got kickstarted it, but it was also booming when The Rock was on top too. Where is that person right now though? You know, you got that talent. They got Black talent. They're just not at that peak yet.
And you know, and what I've...
That's something that's missing from pro wrestling at the moment. Where is the minority top, the people of color who are top guys or gals? You know what I'm saying? In AEW right now, you got Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, Cody Rhodes. You got Pac. You got Adam Page. What is Kenny Omega? What is one thing that all those guys got in common? They're all white. You know?
Yeah, yep. The most inclusive, you know, wrestling promotion out there, they build themselves, and it just kind of looks the same.
Exactly.
You know, when you talk about stuff like that. You know, I think that's a great point. And I look back, and I think, like, maybe I'm missing something, but we've never had a WrestleMania main event where it's, you know, like African-American versus African-American. Like, are we going to see that? Like, there's always, like, the one guy they push, and it's never multiple ones at the same time. And I don't get that. Yeah, like, I don't understand that. Like, why is it necessary to choose one and then push it? Like, it was great for Kofi. Like, oh, that was a bad drop. Wow.
You saw my face.
Good thing that was a Kittle. Phew. But, you know, like, everything about Kofi's run was awesome. But
it was great.
It's like, okay, well, why couldn't the champion that he was chasing have been African-American too? And then, like, we haven't seen that. And that's, like, something that I get the moment and the way they built it was primed for an African-American to beat a white guy for the championship. And Daniel Bryan obviously was great for that. But I want to see more of that. Like, why can't you have like a Lashley versus Kofi Kingston for the title in a WrestleMania main event or something like that? Or like a Big E turn and a New Day split. You would have had like that ready made main event right there. And like, I don't get why WWE's so you know, it just doesn't seem like they ever want to do something like that. And I would love to see that, because that proves that you're not just picking people to put in these spots solely based off the fact that they got white skin, you know. Like, and that's they haven't proven to us that they can push more than one at a time. Like Eddie Guerrero back in 2004, you know, they decided to push him, but he was like the only, like Rey Mysterio was there too. And, but like, it's a one at a time thing when it comes to anyone except white people. And I'll never understand that. And I feel like moving as we move into a time where acceptance is paramount, why not put more people of color in those positions at the same time instead of one at a time?
Yeah, that's what it seems like a lot of times. And I can recall, like you said, a black person versus a black person in the main event of WrestleMania. I can only recall, and I think it's only happened one time in WWE history. And I remember doing a Throwback Thursday about this back in like 2016, maybe 2015, where I looked it up because SummerSlam 2001, if you remember, had Booker T versus The Rock in the main event. And I looked it up, and I'm pretty sure that still to this day, that's the only match in WWE history. I'm not sure about wrestling history. I'm willing to bet the same thing in wrestling history, too. But in WWE history, where two black men went one-on-one in the main event of a pay-per-view. Now, it wasn't like a historic thing back then. Like, people weren't like big, like, wow, this is a historic thing. I remember watching that match, and I don't think it was ever mentioned. One, they were both top guys. They transcended, I guess, race. You know, the Rock definitely did, because people still don't even recognize the fact that he's black. They just look at him like he's Samoan, and that's it.
Right.
And Booker T is obviously African American, and you know, but it just, they were such big stars, especially the Rock, that people didn't really, I guess, they just figured like, yeah, they deserve to be there. I feel like that maybe if that happened again today, people would be like recognize the significance of that, but it's still like that's only happened once.
When you had a guy, how many years? It's crazy how many years.
To think that The Rock, who was on top in tons of main events. I mean, this guy was in the main event every month, if not, you know, all kinds of months. He's in the main event.
Yeah.
In pay-per-views. And yet he was only in the main event with another black person one time, one on one. Oh man, the Cardinals called a timeout right there. That's crazy. But he's only in the main event of a pay-per-view with another black person across the ring from him one time. Oh. That's not good. You know, like I said, that needs to change. You know, at some point, yeah. Whether it's WWE or AEW, somebody needs to step in like, yo, we can't just use the black guy as comic relief or as, you know, no, we got to push him as a serious top guy.
Yeah, and despite AEW having like really good, oh man, that backfired, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, don't know why that happened.
49ers just scored. But yeah, like AEW, I would think I really expected a different feel. Like I like the old school type, you know, storytelling and angle presentations, but it just looks the same. And I'm not talking about the ring and the fireworks and everything. And I'm talking about the stars that are on top. And you just named, what, like six or seven right off the top of your head where it's like people of color are nowhere to be found. So it's like you're going to be that company that prides itself on being progressive and stuff. But yet, and I get like they're in the infancy, so maybe they have plans to, you know, build stars. But like right now, you should have already built stars because you've had pay-per-views. You've been a company since January and you've been planning a year and a half before are recording right now on October 31st. So it's amazing to me that, you know, no company that mainstream, quote unquote mainstream, for whatever mainstream means now in pro wrestling, no mainstream company really dares to be different in terms of, you know what, these guys have proved, there's plenty of wrestling talent that's proven they belong at the top. And white people, black people, it doesn't matter. Give them the shot. You have shows every week. Why would you not put two guys in that top spot at a pay-per-view or even a WrestleMania? Just the fact that a WrestleMania, we're going on 36 years now on the next WrestleMania, and there still hasn't been a main event that's been African-American versus African-American or anything like that. You know, it's time. Like, get off this high horse where you think you need, you know, just one person of color at a time at the top. It still boggles my mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's unfortunate. But hopefully, you know, Jordan Miles trying to bring a light to some of this stuff. Did he go about it 100% the right way? Eh, that's up for debate. I think he could have done this better, but there is an issue that needs to be talked about in pro wrestling as a whole when it comes to race and when it comes to how people, its depiction of race and people of color. And like we just talked about, you know, making people of color your top stars. Like, black people and people of color are leading people in movies now. Or when that wasn't the case in the 80s all the time. You know, back in the 80s, there was like one black movie star at a time. It was like Eddie Murphy was the guy. Before him was like Richard Pryor was the black person, black star. And Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby. You know, like, there's always like one at a time. But now, I mean, there's a bunch. You got people like, of course, Will Smith, who's doing his thing. You got Michael B. Jordan, who's out there. Denzel Washington's always doing something. Kerry Washington, you know. There's a bunch. And you can have black leads, and it's not like a big deal when there's a black lead. Kevin Hart has been black lead with The Rock. Seems like in every other movie or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal anymore for movies that have black leads. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, I know Black Panther was a big deal. It was a black superhero. But for the most part, a black lead in a movie or mostly black cast or people, or, you know, people of color cast, isn't that big of a deal not anymore. In wrestling, that'd be a huge deal. Like, it'd be massive if you had, like you said, a main event with one black person versus another black person at the top of the card. That's like unheard of almost, which is not good.
Right,
like,
exactly. You know what I mean?
When you really think about it, because boxing or like MMA, there have been massive fights where you had one person of color versus another person of color. That's happened for decades. Why hasn't that happened in wrestling? When you choose the people who are on top, it looks even worse, you know?
Yeah.
You know, go back to the 60s and 70s where you had Muhammad Ali versus Sonny Liston. Those are both black guys. They were fighting in the 60s when racism was very much alive and well. Like, you know, of course it's still alive and well today, but it was worse back then. And even boxing back then had two black people on the main event for the world heavyweight title. What the hell is going on in wrestling? Where is this? Why not? I just say there have been, like I said, there have been black stars. Junkyard Dog, Thunderbolt Patterson, of course, Booker T, Bobo Brazil. But they, like you said, they kind of come along like one at a time. It's like they're the token black in their Pacific territory or in their era even. And once they're done, then they get replaced with another black guy. I'm like, it's multiple at once.
I'm glad you brought up that SummerSlam 2001 thing, because I wouldn't have remembered that. And you made a great point, because back then we didn't really think about that in terms of, oh, okay, one African-American versus another African-American in the main event. It didn't really matter at that point because they were both huge stars. And now we're here 18 years later talking about just how much a big deal that would be if a main event, even at WrestleMania, even at SummerSlam, even any pay-per-view really would probably be a big deal, because we've seen it not once maybe since then in WWE. And that's ridiculous when you really look at it in that way, because that's not how we really think day to day. And especially when we're watching WWE, you know, that's not like the first thing on my mind. But now that, you know, Jordan Miles brought a light to it, it really opened my eyes and saying, like, well, I've never seen a main event at WrestleMania that had that. So, like, why? And then it just made me think and think and think. And it's just a stupid way to run a business, first of all. And second of all, it's not like they don't have the talent to put the people there. You know, they could do amazing things and they choose not to. And that's frustrating, too. So the fact that 18 years ago was Booker T versus The Rock, and we haven't had something like that since then, is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, that's our very deep discussion about
race. And that's not, and I'm sorry to cut you off. And that's not for lack of talent, because there's been a bunch of talent to come along that could have been in those positions. And there's one person that decided not to put them in that position.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Sad, you know, not a great state of affairs, but hopefully maybe just one thing Jordan Miles got out of this is that it brought a new light to, you know.
I'll be checking their freaking t-shirt designs now, because they can't be that stupid to do that again.
Yeah, you hope not, but you never know.
That's right.
Speaking of, we mentioned AEW a little bit ago, you know, as far as the top talent. That top talent didn't help them draw over 800,000 viewers this past week, because
yikes.
Because, of course, Wednesday night, rough night for all of wrestling, because it was Game 7 of the World Series. We mentioned that last week. AEW, NXT, What they were praying for was that somebody got closed out in six, and that did not happen because for the first time, I think, ever in any best of seven series in the history of sports, no home team won a game, which is just mind-boggling in itself, right? But because of that, that meant Game 7 of the World Series between the Nationals and the Astros was Wednesday night, and it did not help the ratings for pro wrestling. As I just alluded to earlier, AEW had its lowest rating yet because they've been decreasing in viewers every single week. Even before the World Series, they've been decreasing in viewers. Let's keep that in mind. So as much as people want to blame the World Series, all the World Series, people don't give that same excuse to Raw when Monday Night Football beats their brains in. Or when, right, like, the pay-per-view doesn't have great numbers because they're watching the Walking Dead premiere or something like that. Like, people want to watch your show, they're going to watch your show. But they got 759,000 viewers, down from 963,000 viewers the week before. That's a loss of over 200,000 people. By comparison, the World Series, I think, had over 23 million viewers, which is pretty good for one night of TV. Obviously, the top watched show, I'm pretty sure, on TV that Wednesday night.
Which, by the way, I got an alert earlier, and I haven't looked into this yet, but apparently it was the lowest rated World Series Game 7 ever, wow, in history. So if it's the lowest rated World Series Game 7 ever, and then you're wrestling still losing that many viewers, you know, it's even worse.
Because like you just said, I mean, you just said it. Baseball hasn't done great when it comes, at least they're taking a step back in viewership over the years.
Yeah, and it sucks because I'm a huge baseball fan. But
understandable.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
They're taking a step back, and that's because, you know, people are watching. It's weird because the NFL like having increases in ratings. Yeah. It's just like, yep, wow. But baseball is not, unfortunately. But they still got 23 million.
And NFL's done a great job with the marketing. MLB doesn't do really jack marketing, but... Yeah, 23 million is still nothing to,
nothing to
make fun of, but it's still a game 7, you would think, I guess, wouldn't be the lowest rated in any sport in 2019, but apparently it was. And by the way, it was a great series too, and I'm surprised that, you know, I mean, I haven't really heard this or seen this, but you know, just the product was great in the World Series. It wasn't like it was a bad product either, so maybe it caused that people to just tune in for that one night.
Maybe, you know, time will tell on that. But again, 23 million viewers for Game 7 of the World Series. Like I said, AEW did 759,000. NXT did 580,000, down from 698,000. And in total, 1.3 million people watched pro wrestling Wednesday night, which that's not great combined. It's pretty good. It's all right, but it definitely ain't great. Yeah. Obviously, the years of 8-9 million people watching wrestling on a Monday night in 1997 and 1998, those days are long gone. We're down to 1 million between two shows. That's not even 1 million from one show.
Right.
So that's where we are right now.
And going head-to-head with the World Series is one thing, but they also went head-to-head with the Goldbergs, and you're just not going to win that battle.
Let's not forget also... There was basketball on ESPN, NBA basketball. That's never going to help. But that ain't going nowhere neither for another 6 months.
Right.
But they better get used to competing against that. But, you know, hey, I expect the ratings to go back up next week when baseball isn't there. By how much? We'll have to see.
I wonder what they'll look like Thanksgiving Eve. Because then they'll just go right back down and then people will
I don't know if they're going to do great Thanksgiving Eve. For those who don't know, if you've got international listeners, I'm about to clue you into something. The night before Thanksgiving here in the States is the biggest bar night of the year. And you would think, no way, New Year's Eve, right? No, apparently it's the night before Thanksgiving, which, you think about it, it's kind of understandable. If you got relatives in town or you're going to, like, people usually don't have work the next day because it's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
What do people do when they don't have work the next day? They go out to the bar and drink.
Yeah, everybody's home.
Right. And if you got relatives and your relatives are getting on your last damn nerve, which that happens sometimes, you can't choose your family. You might want to go to the bar and get a good drink in before you deal with your nagging ass relatives. You know, so good luck with that, because there might not be people in the house on Wednesday night. Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, who knows? Especially young people, older people maybe, but younger people I doubt it. But Yeah, not a great night for wrestling ratings Wednesday night and for AEW or NXT. I thought both shows are good. I enjoyed them. But like we said last week, good wrestling shows ain't it, apparently. That's not going to bring people to watch these shows in mass. It's got to be something else. And like, we talked about it last week. What is keeping wrestling from being mainstream? It's a number of things. So if you want to go and listen to that discussion, of course, go back and listen to episode 215 of The Straight Shooters, where we talk about that in depth. But something missing. It's not a great look when each show is losing viewers by the... Even with the World Series on, losing viewers by a lot. So,
and, I mean, it's only been a month, so I get that argument, and you're probably not going to make a dent in a month. Sustain that when you're going against things like NHL, NBA starting up, and then the baseball playoffs. I would be interested to see what the numbers look like. I think the ratings are going to matter to me in terms of when if the networks think about making a change when the spring hits or the summer hits, and see what the ratings are then.
It's not a great time for television, though, because people are typically out of the house. But this is where you make your bones at right
but
now.
But Wednesday, Wednesday's in the middle of the week. You're not taking a vacation on a Thursday and going back to work Friday. So, you know, I feel like Wednesday's a good night as a barometer. Thursday would be, a bad night, because I think Thursday is, like a party night even during the work week. So Wednesday, I think, wouldn't tell as much of a story, would not take as much of a hit as maybe people think.
Well, time will tell with that. Yeah. Time will also tell as to what the hell is going to happen with the Fiend Bray Wyatt, because he just won. If you watch Crown Jewel, which we already said we did not, he won the Universal Championship, despite the fact that he's a SmackDown superstar. He was drafted to SmackDown just a couple weeks ago, but they booked him in his Universal title match regardless, because who cares about that stuff?
But you know who wasn't drafted to SmackDown?
Who was that?
The Fiend.
So Bray Wyatt's on SmackDown, The Fiend is on Raw?
I could absolutely see that, and I would actually love that.
That's weird.
Mick Foley had three characters.
But they were on the same show.
This could work. You have The Fiend on Raw, terrorizing the roster, and then Bray Wyatt on SmackDown,
he just cutting promos?
Yeah, I would love that. And act like he has no idea what The Fiend is doing on Raw. If they do it right, I think it could be highly entertaining, and it'd be one of the best things they've done in a long time.
All right, if you say so.
I was actually surprised. I was surprised he won the title. They never do these types of title changes at these shows. The last 2 years, the shows have been a whole bunch of nothing, a big bunch of nothing. A title change.
What were the shows?
A big bunch of nothing. Literally nothing happens on these shows. They're just a big to make the Saudi Arabian government happy, and they just come and do their show. Nothing happens. But Bray Wyatt won the title, and I'll be interested to see what they do. I don't know why they didn't just do it a Hell in a Cell, but. It's just weird, but he's a champ now, so do something good with it. And if you can split him and have Bray on SmackDown, that would make Bray a hot commodity in terms of, like, he would be important to both shows, and maybe he would finally get into that spot of being the top guy in WWE, however long they want. It doesn't count, 2 years ago when he won the title, 2.5 years ago, because he only held it for a month, and then Randy Orton beat him in a terrible match, so I don't even count that. So he was
technically it does count. I see what you're saying, though.
He wasn't a top guy, so maybe now he could be a top guy.
He only had the belt to lose it to Randy Orton and said terrible match, like you said, but technically it counts. But
I didn't mind the storyline. It was just the execution was terrible.
None of it was really all that good. The Fiend is a champion, like you said. Should have happened at Hell in a Cell. Why the hell did you wait until now to do this? Why didn't you just have him win at Hell in a Cell? You do the rematch at Crown Jewel, and then he wins again. This is easy book. I'm banging on my couch, by the way. I know this is terrible podcasting because you're hearing this weird sound in the background, but it makes me that angry to think that they just couldn't have had him win at Hell in a Cell. If you're going to... Why did
I
you?
Guess,
put
I guess
match?
It would
you
mess up the draft Seth? Then or something.
Yeah, you're right. It would have messed up the draft.
Stupid. It's a stupid reason, because why not just freaking do it? Because we need Seth to be Raw's number one pick. Okay, whatever. Because they're not going to pick the Fiend number one, I guess.
Your thing about Seth, the draft, is a valid point, but it's still kind of dumb.
It's stupid.
And so is the rest of the show, probably. But I will say
overdo things.
They did something good in having Natty and Lacey. I do something with an L. Lacey Evans have the first ever women's wrestling match in Saudi Arabia. I know this has probably been a deal that he worked out with Saudi Arabia. We talked about it a couple, last year that they're not going to just go in and change all the customs, but if they could do some things, maybe. This may not change any laws, but hey, maybe they could do something over there. If anything can good come out of this, it's maybe they can just sort of crack open the door to help women be more equal over there to the men. I don't know if a wrestling match can do that, but at least they're trying, right? I applaud some of the effort, but, look, it's still rough regardless. But good for Natty and Lacey Evans. That wouldn't have been the match I chose. Ooh, my man ran right into the kicking net.
Yeah, who were they? They were just teammates, too.
That wouldn't have been
They were first, enemies and teammates, and now they're enemies again.
Match I ever do in a part of the world, that's probably the match I'm doing. I'm probably doing like Sasha Banks and Bayley or the partners. But like Charlotte and Becky Lynch, like the biggest match you could possibly do, right? And they did that. So I don't know. Look, not my call, obviously.
I was in perusing Twitter. I didn't really see anything about the reaction to the match, negative. So maybe that's a good sign. I'm not going to put on Crown Jewel to watch the match, but I'd be interested to hear what the crowd reaction was like and if, people were cheering. But I didn't see anything negative on Twitter when I was scrolling through the timeline. So maybe that's a good thing.
Well, they're professionals. They can get the job done. So whatever. Talk about the women on NXT. They're going to war on NXT. Specifically War Games, which we're gonna have not one, but two War Games matches this year. And I'm here for War Games. Has to be one of my favorite matches of all time. Like, and NXT is the perfect place for them to happen. WWE would bastardize it. They would destroy it. They would ruin it. They would somehow have it not be a winner. They'd be a DQ. We just saw it last month, so you can't say that they can't do it. They would do it. NXT, they respect the match. They respect they respect wrestling enough to know that War Games has to have a winner, and you have to have blood feuds go into it. You can't just do it because it's October. Even though, yes, they do it pretty much every November, if you haven't noticed. But it's like their stores are so good, you don't even think about the fact that it's November. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, it is November. They're going to do War Games. It's just so seamless the way they tell the stories, where they've kind of combined multiple stories into one and made people want to go to the War Games. It's seamless. It's great. And I'm here for both of these matches. They're going to kick a lot of ass. Now, I know you saw this. I did not see this, but you saw this on Pro Wrestling Sheet that NXT is going to be a part of Survivor Series, apparently.
Yes. Ryan Satin had wrote that. He didn't say what they were going to do, but I'm assuming they'll have NXT matches. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it'll be a bunch of triple threat matches when it's NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown, but they will be present. And then we don't hear from them during the Survivor Series. They will have a presence at Survivor Series. So to me, that makes me assume that maybe they'll have a Survivor Series elimination match. Is NXT that Friday or Saturday? I think it's the Saturday, right?
Before. I have no idea, honestly.
it's something that is huge, and it really hammers home the point that NXT is not developmental anymore. It's legitimately their third brand, and this only means that I think we'll see it again at the Royal Rumble. I don't know about every pay-per-view, every month, but definitely the Royal Rumble, definitely WrestleMania. That to me, that just kind of hammers home that, hey, NXT is here, and they're not developmental anymore.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story now. Triple H's statement that they are no longer viewed NXT as developmental. Yep, and just stay tuned for details. So, yeah. Doesn't really say what their involvement is. Just says that they will be there. So
I hope it's a lot more than just sitting in the crowd, taking in the sights and sounds.
I don't think they make
it. They better have a match. They better have something going on.
I'm sure
it's a 4-hour show. At least a 4-hour show. So they definitely need something.
I'm sure there'd be more than that. Yeah. Just there has to be, right?
If they just think an announcement for it. Yeah. And I'm assuming he meant Triple H said that during his conference call or when he was on Facebook Live or something like that before Crown Jewel or after Crown Jewel, whatever. But you know, it's big. It's big for that brand. You know, the move to USA was big, and they just keep taking these steps. And, you know, it's nothing but good for those talents to get that exposure.
Speaking of NXT, they had a Halloween costume battle royal, one of the house shows recently. I'm looking at it right
tonight,
now.
Right? Is that tonight?
I guess.
See, this is the type of thing where, yes, I know NXT was on TV last night, but put this damn thing, this like Halloween night house show on the damn network. Like, that's entertaining.
It's kind of funny, though, but Jasmine Duke went as
I need themed shows every holiday. Damn it.
Jasmine Duke was Matt Riddle. Rhea Ripley was Triple H, whereas Shane Thorne was Chyna. That's funny. We had, let's see, Tegan Knox. She was Kane. That's pretty cool. She wore the old school Kane mask. We got Mia Yim as a Tethered from Us. So she came out with the red suit and the scissors. Let's see who else we got here. Darth Baszler. So Shayna Baszler was apparently Darth Vader. And I don't know who was Jennifer Lopez. Somebody was Jennifer Lopez in here somewhere. Maybe it was, I don't know. But Shayna Baszler is Darth Vader. Jim Cornette is probably somewhere upset.
You know what's funny? Before we
start. Wait a second. There was a panda in there. Wait a second. Hold up.
Oh, that's the WWF right there.
Somebody was a panda in the ring. Like, this is Kaiju Big Battle or something. Is it Kaiju Big Battle? Some of those Japanese promotions has, like, a panda.
We can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can hear it. No. It's not a bad thing.
There's nothing really to hear.
I was trying to listen into it.
I don't know who it is. But somebody in a panda costume was in the ring. So, that was probably a fun show to be at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. What's wrong with just putting it on the network, man? It's Halloween.
I don't know.
Didn't they have like Matt Hardy's Halloween thing last year on the network, or was it like 2 years ago? They had something about his Matt Hardy's Halloween something. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up.
I honestly barely remember last year.
See, like, if you like, I just want Halloween Havoc back. Damn it! This all boils down to Halloween Havoc.
I stand with you on that one. You need Halloween Havoc back. Damn it! You bring back Starrcade and you kind of tease us with that. Ooh, touchdown!
Right.
Kind of teases with Starrcade, which should be a pay-per-view. I've stood by this for years. Get rid of Survivor Series, bring in Starrcade, and greatness happens. But also, just get rid of Hell in a Cell as a name and bring back Halloween Havoc. You can have Hell in a Cell matches at Halloween Havoc, but just make it Halloween Havoc. And bring back the big pumpkin with the hands, and wham, bam, thank you, man, we in here.
Hell yeah.
We got something.
Let's do it.
They might set a record with network subscriptions if they do that.
Just you know that.
Bring back Goldberg and DDP. We got a match. Get Rey Mysterio to go get somebody in his purple outfit, and boom, we out here. R.I.P. Eddie Guerrero.
Wrap those Slim Jims around the ring posts instead of those stupid LED boards.
Exactly. Halloween Havoc for life. All right? It's always going to be that way.
To this day. To this day. You know what? Have you been listening to Eric Bischoff? Podcasts.
I have not, actually.
So he had mentioned like a few times that Halloween Havoc was WCW's like premier event. It wasn't Starrcade, it wasn't, you know, Super Brawl, but like everything was built towards Halloween Havoc. And I, you know, look back and I'm like, 96, I could see that. You know, you had Hogan Savage, and it was right after the NWO formed in July, and, you know, Fall Brawl, it was NWO versus WCW, but then Halloween Havoc, it was a big. The Outsiders won the tag team titles. Like, Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio was the first match on the card. Like, that's a huge event. Bigger than Starrcade, like, I guess, if you look at it on paper. And then he said something about when they went over Halloween Havoc 97, and he's like, oh, I thought it was a bigger, like, a more stacked card than Starrcade 97 was. And I listened to it, I'm just like, what the hell is he talking about? But I go back, and I look at the card, and it was a pretty stacked card, too. Like, it had, obviously, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, a great opener, Yuji Nagata, and Ultimo Dragon. That was a great opener. So, Piper Hogan in a cage on paper. That looks pretty cool. Scott Hall versus Lex Luger, which really only furthered the angle with Larry Zbysko. But it was cool. It wasn't bad. But then he had, like, Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig a month after Hennig turned on the Horsemen. And who was the U.S. champion? Hennig was the U.S. champion at the time, which, by the way, he lost the title. So he carried the Cruiserweight title down in the ring, which is hilarious.
That's ridiculous.
Like, that card stacks. So I'm like, you know what? And then you had Hogan Warrior the next Halloween Havoc. Like,
what?
Maybe he was right. Like, maybe he was right.
Hogan Warrior was hot garbage.
It was. But you look at the paper, and you haven't seen it since WrestleMania 6, and
you're like
a big wrestling fan, and you're hyped up for Hogan Warrior 2, man. You are hyped up for it. Well, and they brought back the old Halloween Havoc logo for that, too.
I guess. They did, actually. I do remember that.
As you mentioned. Maybe Halloween Havoc was WCW's number one show. That's so weird to think about right now.
It shouldn't have been, though, because Starrcade was the show.
I agree with you.
I don't know why that would be the case if you're Bischoff. Why would you switch to Halloween Havoc of all shows?
I don't get it.
But it should have been Starrcade. It was Starrcade. That's where... Starrcade 97 rolled around. That wasn't the biggest show of the year. Sting and Hogan.
It was, but then he had 94.
Talking about it when they was talking... What was 94?
Halloween Havoc 94, the Hogan-Flair steel cage career-ending match. And then 95, Hogan and the Giant, which at that time, I guess, was like the big thing.
Stop it. Stop it.
We're talking
Hogan and the Giant
Savage
with the monster truck match, and then the hokey, crappy actual match.
Yeah. Hogan Andre 2. Three or four. I don't even remember how many times they fought each other, but you know, he was literally billed as Andre's son. Like, so maybe he was right in everything they tried to do. Because who remembers Starrcade 94? I sure as hell don't.
But they were terrible back then.
Starrcade 95. I think it was like the whole World Cup, you know, for New Japan versus WCW, like all the way through. And that's not really memorable. That's all I remember about it. Starrcade 96 was Piper Hogan for the first time since WWF, which, you know, that's probably the first year that really pushed it as the quote unquote biggest show, but Halloween Havoc was still probably bigger than that. And then 97 was obviously Starrcade, but it's just like, it's so crazy because I like Bischoff's podcast and I like him, but when he says that, I never really thought about it. And then I look back and I'm like, man, maybe he was right. Maybe that really was going through his head. What I still don't believe is that he says the premise for the NWO angle was two former WCW employees going elsewhere, becoming big stars, coming back and throwing it in the face of WCW. That was never the premise. The premise was they were getting taken over by WWF. That was always the premise, and you'll never be able to convince me otherwise.
All right. Well, on that note, we should wrap it up then. I guess for episode 216, you ended off on a hot note. I'm just leaving it at that. There's nothing more I can add to that. So with that said, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
Follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter. Follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. We're also on shootersradio.com. And on Facebook at facebook.com/thestraightshooters. And you can also possibly find this podcast on phillyinfluencer.com and phillyvoice.com. If I have the time, I will send them a post and post it myself. The last few weeks and months, obviously, have been ridiculous. By the way, my mom's doing better, and hopefully anyone out there continue sending your prayers. She's still in rehab, but she's doing a lot better. So let's get her home soon.
That's great to hear. Mama Pacone doing better. That's always good news. By the way, I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. If you can't find me on there, you can find me out here in these streets. It's like I was tonight doing trick-or-treating, getting that candy.
Right.
And you can find us, of course, shootersradio.com. You can find all of our shows online. Of course, you can listen to us on a multitude of platforms called Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and the new mothership, like I just said, shootersradio.com. Of course, Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio, where you can subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. So, for Nick Pacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening listening. I almost said listening and watching for some reason. Thanks for listening to episode 216 of the Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.